From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. And on this day, a ballot referendum that would allow one specific man to run a casino in York County is the subject of more investigation. And U.S. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is expected to make his recommendation on Katahdin Woods and Waters in the next day. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
A controversial casino campaign that is already under investigation by the State Ethics Commission is about to get a new level of scrutiny from the legislature. The Government Oversight Committee voted unanimously today to gather information and hold a public hearing about a ballot campaign that, if approved by voters, would allow casino developer Sean Scott, and only Scott, to hold a license for a casino in York County. Steve Missler has details.
The campaign has already spent more than $4 million just to get on the ballot, and it's now ramping up a messaging and voter influence operation that will be run, in part, by the same Washington, D.C. firm hired to convince British voters to leave the European Union. Now, the legislature's Government Oversight Committee wants to shed some light on a campaign that's been dogged by controversy ever since it was launched over a year ago. GOC co-chairman Senator Roger Cates, an Augusta Republican, says the review and hearing are designed to inform the public about the players in the operation and their track record. And Kate says it could be a forum to ask Sean Scott and his partners some questions.
We think that's one of the roles of the Government Oversight Committee, is to cast light on things that are happening in our state that involve the government, and in this case, the referendum process. And to date, this group has operated primarily in the shadows, and we want to give a shot at bringing that out.
To do that, the Oversight Committee will utilize an agency called the Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability, or OPEGA. OPEGA typically conducts reviews of government agencies and programs. It's perhaps best known for its 2011 review of the Maine Turnpike Authority, which led to the jailing of the authority's executive director for misappropriation of agency funds. The casino review is not a formal investigation, and it's unclear whether the committee will be any more successful convincing its backers to cooperate than the Maine Ethics Commission has been. The ethics panel is probing the casino operation's finances, specifically trying to find out who exactly is bankrolling the campaign. So far, updated campaign reports show that the casino is funded by a web of offshore and domestic investment firms, many with a connection to casino developer Sean Scott. But Cates notes that the campaign has fought the ethics probe, and Democratic Senator Bill Diamond of Windham says the public should know as much as possible about the proposal before going to the polls.
The purpose of this public hearing, public discussion, will be to bring all this to the forefront. And frankly, I think the timing is good. Too often we've seen referenda that are passed by the voters and they have little information to go on. This is a particularly interesting one and could have repercussions for the state of Maine for quite a while.
Cates agrees.
The whole point in doing this is to cast light on this thing before the election. It doesn't do as much good to do it afterwards.
Republican State Representative Jeffrey Pierce of Dresden voted for the review. However, he later wonders if the committee should focus on flaws in the referendum process rather than single out Scott and the casino campaign.
I mean, we're going to drag somebody in here and talk about whether he's doing something behind the curtain, but if he used the referendum process as a way it's indulged in the Constitution, then we should leave him alone.
Pierce is expected to ask for a separate review of the citizen initiative process, which critics say has been exploited by outside groups who use well-financed and sophisticated campaigns to pass legislation that can't get enacted in the legislature. In the meantime, the GOC inquiry is scheduled for late October. The timing of the hearing may also serve opponents of the casino initiative, which have yet to formally launch an organized campaign. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Sometime in the next 24 hours, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is expected to recommend what, if any, changes he thinks should be made to Maine's Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument. Friday marks the one-year anniversary since the monument's designation by President Obama, and supporters have a celebration and fundraiser planned. But as Susan Sharon reports, the party could turn into a strategy session, depending on Zinke's decision.
Katahdin Woods and Waters is one of 27 monuments that came under review by order of President Trump in April. Monuments created by previous presidents since 1996, larger than 100,000 acres in size, or those that were perceived by Trump as having insufficient public participation, made the list. Since then, Zinke has completed reviews of six of them without making any changes. He didn't offer much insight about why. But during a visit to Maine's monument in June, he gave some strong hints about what he might recommend here.
We have an opportunity to do something different here. And you can harvest timber, you can hunt, you can respect traditional uses in a confines of a monument or a park.
Currently managed by the National Park Service, the monument does not allow commercial timber harvesting on its nearly 88,000 acres. Hunting is restricted to certain areas, as are snowmobiles and ATVs. And that bothers Bob Myers, executive director of the Maine Snowmobile Association.
We'd like to see some rational management of it. I mean, it's kind of a big nothing burger right now. You know, we and many other groups advocated for having the state of Maine manage it.
In written comments to the federal government, Myers Group, along with the Maine Forest Products Council, argued that the state of Maine has the expertise and knows the lay of the land when it comes to traditional uses of the property. But most of the 192,000 comments received, more than 99% of them, according to an analysis by the Natural Resources Council of Maine, support keeping the monument the way it is.
So we hope that they will essentially leave it alone as the public has asked.
Kathy Johnson, a senior staff attorney with the NRCM, says increased tourism in the Katahdin region has helped local businesses over the past year. She says allowing certain activities like logging in the monument or changing how it's managed could turn those visitors away. And there's another looming issue, whether the Interior Department has the legal authority to undertake such action.
If they try and do some of these things just on their own, we will definitely be looking at our legal options because we don't think that they have the legal authority to do that.
During his June visit to Maine, Secretary Zinke told reporters he was confident there was a way forward with the monument. This is a part of the state that has been pummeled by the loss of papermaking jobs and mills. Some residents, along with Governor Paul LePage, take issue with the fact that philanthropist and Burt's Bees co-founder Roxanne Quimby was able to purchase the property from a former timber company and fulfill her dream to donate it to the federal government. LePage has described the property as a mosquito-infested wasteland, and he said its monument designation by President Obama demonstrates that rich, out-of-state liberals can force their unpopular agenda on the Maine people against their will. But Zinke says the two sides are not far apart.
I think you have to respect the local culture and work together because this property and this investment is worth, you know, finding a plan that everyone gets along with.
That may be a tall order. As part of the gift to the federal government, the Quimby family's foundation included a $20 million endowment with a pledge to raise another $20 million more. The family has indicated that that gift would be rescinded if significant changes are made to their vision for the land. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
At his campaign rally in Phoenix, President Trump said he'd block passage of the federal budget for the next year if Congress doesn't agree to pay for his border wall with Mexico. Members of Maine's congressional delegation say they are concerned by those comments. Mal Leary has more.
Trump was playing to a supportive crowd when he made his threat against a federal budget that Congress has been working on for months.
Build that wall. Now, the obstructionist Democrats would like us not to do it, but believe me, if we have to close down our government, we're building that wall.
Democrats in Congress have already expressed their opposition to building a wall on the Mexican border, as Trump promised in his campaign. But an appropriations bill that includes the money has already been approved on party lines in the House. 1st District Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, a member of the House Appropriations Committee, opposed the bill and says the cost of the wall would far exceed what's allotted in the House-approved measure.
Things that, you know, could have a huge impact on our next budget going forward, but they kind of want to throw in at the last minute just to see if they can get some money to get things going.
Maine Senator Susan Collins is also concerned about the president's ultimatum.
This was a disruptive comment.
Collins, a Republican who serves on the Senate Appropriations Committee, has spent months working on a dozen bills that make up the federal budget.
We are making good progress on the appropriations bills and on a budget resolution.
Collins fears if the president insists on getting everything he wants in the budget, including funding for the wall, it will lead to a partial federal shutdown come October 1st, when the current budget runs out. And she says that would have direct impacts on Maine.
If government shutdowns, that means that, for example, Acadia National Park shuts down. So surely we should be able to come up with a way to keep government funded.
Such as, says Collins, another continuing resolution that simply continues funding at current levels. The downside, though, says Collins, is that a continuing resolution would lock in existing priorities and prohibit money from being shifted to more important issues, such as the national opioid crisis. Maine Independent Senator Angus King says that while he's not a fan of the CR, it's better than a shutdown.
A CR, a continuing resolution, is a very poor way to govern, particularly for the Defense Department. They can't plan. They can't rely on what the level of funding is going to be. It just has a lot of ramifications throughout the government. It's better than a shutdown.
Second District Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin declined to be interviewed for this story. When Congress returns to Washington after Labor Day, it will have just a little over 3 weeks to complete work on a budget or a continuing resolution to keep government operating at full capacity. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.